Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, I thought today that I would devote this broadcast to the twin evils of racism and richism. Richism, a word that I coined for this particular broadcast. And all of this was precipitated when recently I proofed an article that will shortly appear in the Christian Research Journal. The article by Matthew Kennedy addresses what is now popularly referred to as white fragility, a pejorative popularized by best-selling author Robin DiAngelo. That moniker invested with the charge that all white people are racist was forged in really a context that is interesting, but what is even more significant is that it has forged a path into the evangelical Christian world, and that with a vengeance. Churches, denominations ranging from the United Methodist Church to the Anglican Church in North America, along with organizations such as InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, are now recommending white fragility as a useful resource for understanding race relations in America. In this article, the article that's going to appear in the Christian Research Journal, Kennedy notes that DiAngelo and the Christians who laud her work argue that anyone, regardless of ethnicity, can harbor ethnic prejudice, but only those who wield societal power, like white people, can be racist. And the solution, according to DiAngelo, is that white people must of necessity go through diversity training in order to come to a true valuation of just how deeply racist assumptions are embedded in their way of thinking, and then spend the remainder of their mortal existences divesting themselves of the white privilege that comes with the color of their skin. Whites who disagree, well, they're not only deemed racist, but they are designated fragile racists. To be deemed a fragile racist, of course, is no small matter, and that's why I'm addressing it on the broadcast today. For human beings are made in the image of God and are designed to be conformed to the likeness of God. At the foot of the cross, there can be no such prejudice. As icons of God, we must not so much as imagine discriminating against people on the basis of their skin color. Instead, authentic Christians are committed to the maxim that from one man, from one blood, from one race, God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, that He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. And that God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. My point is that racism, while it has raised its ugly head within the context of American churches, is incompatible with genuine Christianity. Indeed, the very notion of multiple races is at best subbiblical. All people, irrespective of skin color, are descendants of one human couple. And while there are various nations and tribes and peoples and languages, there is only one human race. If there is a systemic problem that all humans, including Christians, struggle with, it might well be designated with that term that I coined, richism. And I mean by that the predisposition to honor the rich and disfavor the poor. This is precisely why St. James warns Christians of wanton partiality. To not embrace the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. St. James could not be more explicit in his denunciation of partiality. He says, "If there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'Sit here in a good place.' And then you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there or sit here at my footstool.' Have you not shown partiality among yourselves by doing that? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, that royal law being you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin. You are thus convicted by the law as transgressors." I was reading a book by St. John Chrysostom, who puts things into proper perspective by appealing to Christ's account of the rich man and Lazarus. From the poor man, we learn that all who suffer curses and injustice among us will stand before us in that other life. Indeed, Lazarus suffered no injustice from the rich man, for the rich man did not take Lazarus's money, but he failed to share his own money. In that world, there is no need of witnesses, accusers, evidence, or proof. The deeds themselves, just as we have done them, will appear before our eyes. Thus, let us call fortunate not the wealthy, but the virtuous. Let us call miserable not the poor, but the wicked. Let us not regard what is present, but consider what is to come. Let us examine not the outer garments, but the conscience of each person. Let us pursue the virtue and joy which come from righteous actions. And let us, both rich and poor, emulate Lazarus. We see Lazarus at the gate of the rich man, but, says John Chrysostom, see him rightly in the bosom of Abraham. You saw him licked by dogs. See him carried in triumph by the angels. You saw him in poverty then. See him in luxury now. You saw him in hunger. See him in great abundance. You saw him striving in the contest. See him now crowned with victory. You saw his sufferings. See his recompense. Both you who are rich and you who are poor, the rich to keep you from thinking that wealth is worth anything without virtue, and the poor, well, the poor to keep you from thinking that poverty is any evil. Let us learn from Lazarus not to call the rich man lucky, nor the poor unfortunate. Rather, if we are to learn from Lazarus, not to call the rich man lucky nor the poor man unfortunate, but rather, if we are to tell the real truth about this matter, the rich man is not the one who has collected many possessions, but the one who needs few possessions. And the poor man, well, the poor man is not the one who has no possessions. The poor man is the one who has many desires. We ought to consider this the definition of poverty and wealth. When we come back from the break, and we're going to continue talking about both racism and richism, the twin evils that are permeating our culture, our world. Do remember that this ministry is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. You can stand with us prayerfully and financially by giving in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also give via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And of course, we've got some incredible resources to equip you to boost your immune system. And you can find those resources on the web at equip.org. Be right back.
Do you sometimes feel that in the fight for life and biblical truth, your fizz goes flat? Would you welcome an empowering touch from God that would put a gust of wind back in your sails? If so, you need King of Creation, a moving DVD that combines meditations with stunning photography accompanied by beloved hymns. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a moment.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The second century theological warrior Irenaeus stands among the most relevant thinkers for our own time. His reliance on the church's apostolic canon, creed, and clergy shows us a way beyond the interpretive anarchy of today's individualist approach to Christianity. Other topics include the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization, faithful living through COVID-19, winning the fight for religious freedom, the beauty of worship, aesthetics, and truth, vocation and performance in T.S. Eliot's The Confidential Clerk, atheism and the burden of proof, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Do you sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against you that it's not even worth fighting for what you deeply believe in? Well, be comforted. You're not alone. As Vince Lombardi once noted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. The simple truth is that fighting the good fight takes its toll on all of us, and our spiritual batteries must be regularly recharged. And that's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a production of powerful meditation set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of this amazing King of Creation DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you very much, Randy. I'm talking today about the twin evils of racism and richism, a word that I, of course, coined for this broadcast. And the problem that I was highlighting before we went to break is the sin of partiality. Partiality toward the wealthy and against the poor. It is partiality, not white fragility, that has seeped into our souls like a venomous poison, a prejudice that has leached into our hearts and has become institutionalized in the culture. I was listening to civil rights activist Bob Woodson talk about this issue. He's the founder of the Woodson Center. And he was noting that what low-income blacks are facing is not institutional racism. It's the systematic neglect and abandonment by veterans of the civil rights movement that have been vested with tens of trillions of dollars, but have selfishly used it to build their own power structures. As Woodson colorfully put it, what's happening in cities, well, it's the difference between a burglar who steals what's in your house and an embezzler who steals everything you've accumulated over your lifetime. And then he said, what is being stolen from Black America is their history, a history of how they resisted and overcame oppression. Where racial injustice exists, it ought not to be profiteered from, but rather resisted and systematically rooted out. As Christians, we need to emulate those who, like William Wilberforce, have talked about him many times in the broadcast. He dedicated his life to the abolition of slavery, not only in Britain, but around the world. Converted to Christianity 75 years before the Civil War, Wilberforce worked tirelessly to end the slave trade, that permeated the vast reaches of the British Empire. And consider what inspired the American Anti-Slavery Society, a society that was founded in 1833 to lead the charge toward ending slavery in the United States of America. These courageous Christian citizens faced the burning of their homes and even cruel deaths at the hands of angry pro-slavery mobs. We all no doubt remember Elijah Lovejoy, the famed newspaper editor and pastor, who used his news columns, who used his sermons to call out slave owners as anti-Christian swindlers. Prior to being shot to death, Lovejoy memorialized his commitment to stamping out racism in print as well as in principle. He said, "I am governed by higher considerations than either the favor or fear of man. I'm impelled to the course I have taken because I fear God. I've appealed to the Constitution, to the laws of my country, and if they fail to protect me, I appeal to God, and with Him I cheerfully rest my cause. I can die at my post, but I cannot desert it." Lovejoy could not have been more different from the modern Protestant preachers like Al Sharpton and Jeremiah Wright and Jamar Tisby. Not long ago, I encountered Jamar Tisby's unqualified endorsement of James Cone, He, of course, the founder of Black Liberation Theology I've talked about on the broadcast. A man who simultaneously expressed hatred for white people and supposed that such hate does not constitute racism. Cone, who infamously said, "It is important to make a further distinction here among black hatred, black racism, and black power. Black hatred is the black man's strong aversion to white society. No black man," he said, "living in white America can escape it." But he continued, "The charge of black racism cannot be reconciled with the facts. While it is true that blacks do hate whites," he said, "black hatred is not racism." Black religion and Marxist philosophy, he said, may show us the way to build a completely new society. A society with this consideration in mind, we may be able to realize a culture in which we have the freedom of which we sing and pray for in the black church. Marxism coupled to black religion, however, is hardly the answer. I say that because it was Messiah, not Marx, who came to set the captives free. What must be embraced is not Marxism, is not black liberation theology, but the biblically liberating theology that in Christ there is no favoritism. In Christ there is no partiality. St. Paul said it so majestically when he said that all who have been baptized in Jesus Christ have been clothed with Jesus Christ. And thus said St. Paul, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. For," he said, "you are all one in Christ Jesus." In Christ, there's no black or white. There's no distinction based on status, nor, for that matter, on gender. And by the way, we should never decouple gender from sex. Those who sincerely take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips recognize only one race, and that the human race. And we look forward to the glorious reality of a great multitude that no one can count, a great multitude from every nation, from every tribe, from every people, from every language, standing before the throne, standing in front of the Lamb. And they're wearing white robes, and they're holding palm branches in their hands, and they cry out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Praise and glory and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." The point here is if we take the big picture, if we have the eternal perspective, we will recognize that we one day will stand before the Lord of glory, who created each one of us as icons of himself, created in the image of God, created to be conformed to his likeness, to become ever more and more like God. And when we have that perspective in mind, coming back to our earthly positions, we immediately realize that we could never look at one person if we are at the foot of the cross, is inferior to another person. And nor can we fail to use the resources that God has given to us for the needs of the poor and the downtrodden. For one day we will stand before God and give an account for what we did with what we had. Again, today's broadcast has been devoted to the twin evils of racism and richism. We must never show partiality. We will be held accountable for all those icons, images of God that we come in contact with. Well, thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday, your answer is questioned on this broadcast when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember the resources by which we are fortifying your immune system to deal effectively with all of the poisonous concepts that are extant in our culture today. Go to the web at equip.org and check out the resources available when you stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and thanks for all you do for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The question, "What do you mean by that?" may be the most important question one could ask today. In this relativistic post-truth age in which words are systemically redefined to undermine the Judeo-Christian foundations of Western civilization, Christians must discern the meaning of words and learn to counter and redeem semantic distortions. Other topics include faithful living through COVID-19, Irenaeus and Christian teaching, winning the fight for religious freedom, vocation and performance in T.S. Eliot's The Confidential Clerk, the beauty of worship, aesthetics and truth, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.